Welcome to the post party. This is episode 6 of the Post Party Podcast. The Post Party is a weekly podcast dedicated to the first year after adding a baby to your family. We are moms, and we know that having a baby is a joy and a challenge. It's a time filled with changes in every part of your life. We don't want to add to your to-do list. We just want to chat about everything you're going through and share experiences and encouragement. I'm Anna Hithersay, and in today's episode, my co-host Rhiannon Fuller and I discuss the motherhood mantras that help us get a better perspective on life and survive tough seasons of parenting. So grab a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and join us as we discuss comparison, emergencies, and a new twist on that old saying that practice makes perfect.
Hey, mama friends, it's Rhiannon and Anna.
Hi.
And we have like just some crazy news right now. It is launch day.
Yeah, we're recording on launch day. This won't come out for like whatever, 4 weeks or so.
Who knows?
I mean, sometime.
Yeah, we may change up the rotation. Yeah, but this is like groundbreaking.
Yeah.
I mean,
June 5th.
Crazy. I think it's still like you got here and I was like, it's still surreal. Like it hasn't sunk in yet. And as we've just been chatting this evening and kind of getting our mojo going, we just keep seeing more and more of you downloading. And like,
yes.
I'm a crier, so I'm getting all welly eyed right now. And I just, I really hope that like mamas are being touched right now. Like that there is some encouragement and just that you honestly are feeling like a huge big old hug. I'm also a hugger. So like,
yes.
Throw that right arm over your left shoulder and your left arm over your right shoulder and squeeze. I just, Anna's like full on here. I didn't bring tissues.
It's awesome. It's been an awesome day. It's exciting. So we just want to say thank you.
Yes.
For listening. Thank you for sharing the podcast. Thank you for messages and for your support and encouragement. And if you're blessed by it, we would just ask that you would pass it on to another mom who you think might need to know she's not alone.
Yeah.
So.
And if you like have something that you want us to talk about or you're curious about, you know, anything that we do or say or who we are or what have you, like we're open book. So send us your questions, your comments, that sort of thing.
Yeah. You can email us at thepostpartypodcast@gmail.com or you can hop onto our Facebook site and you can message us there or either publicly or you can send us a message privately or you can hop on to Instagram at the post party and comment there. So lots of different ways. Actually, I think you can even get on thepostparty.com, our website, and you could message us or comment on them. There's lots of ways to get a hold of us.
You will find us.
You will find us. We would love to hear from you. So just a big old thank you.
Yeah. I really wish we could, like, hug them.
I know. I want to see everybody's faces and be like, and thank you, and thank you, and thank you. And I would be so embarrassed, though. Like, you know, if I could see everybody, I'm so shy.
Oh, well, maybe not all at one time. How about that?
It's easy for me to be this, like, open and honest because I'm just looking at you. I'm not looking at all the people listening. You'd be totally fine. You're so outgoing.
Oh, I'm outgoing. My insides would be a bundle of nerves, but... Maybe don't have to meet everyone at one sitting.
Not at one time.
But who knows? That would be a fun thing to get like mamas all together. Yeah,
that would be awesome.
Let's all have a mama night.
That would be really awesome.
Mom's night out? What? Anywho, we just couldn't begin the evening without saying thank you. And
we're drinking champagne.
We are. Celebratory. Yes. Gotta have some bubbles. And, I think I'm still just stuck in the surrealness because you know, we were momming it all day, and
oh, I was deep in the it was a day.
It was a day. So thank you for blessing us.
It does not feel like it was like a big party day, but at the same time, I'm like looking at, you know, like sharing stuff online, like when I can get a minute, and yeah. It was so exciting.
Anna's good at the juggle. She's real good at the juggle. I'm still taking notes. I tell her I'm definitely still taking notes. But, and she showed up tonight in like this cute little dress, and her hair's all braided, and now we got our red lips on, and so it's just kind of, here we are. So
let's do this.
Let's do it. So we thought that we would share our mantras with you, the things that we find ourselves saying frequently throughout the day, or sharing with each other going, hey girl, you know, this is it. And so we just wanted to share those with you, and I think it'd be fun to hear some of y'all's. Mm-hmm. And so do you want to start?
Sure, I'll okay. start.
Let's hear.
Okay. The first one that I find myself saying a lot, and I have also told many new moms this, is I'm just practicing, or you're just practicing. It's okay if it's a disaster and it doesn't go well. I said this a lot to myself last year when I was mm-hmm. starting out. Like, Jason had gone back to work and I had 3 kids mm-hmm. because I was terrified. Okay. I mean, bona fide terrified. I mean, I was struggling with severe depression. I wasn't on medication yet when he went back. It was bad, and I was terrified of what it was going to be like, and I would just tell myself, you're just practicing. You're just practicing a day with all 3 kids. You're just practicing getting them all fed today. You're just practicing getting them in the car. You're just practicing. Like, everything was, you're just practicing, and it's okay if it doesn't, like, look that good, because next time, you can practice again, and you just keep practicing. And that picture works for me. I played piano for like 13 years, and practicing something and getting better is a big part. Like, that resonates with me, that yeah. idea. So, and I have told many moms that, like, don't freak out. You're just practicing. It's okay that it didn't go okay.
Yeah, and it's funny. This wasn't going to be one of mine, but this is something that I do say often, and it just chimes in on that mm-hmm. is like, practice makes performance. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make perfect. Mm-hmm. And so, like you said, like, you mm-hmm. may learn that, I ain't doing this that way right. tomorrow. Yeah. Or, hey, that worked.
Yeah.
You know, let's tweak it a little or what have you.
It is, like, so much of, like, mom life becomes, like, these certain, like, literal muscle memory that you have. Mm-hmm. Like, I have muscle memory of how to get my kids into the car
right.
in the least amount of time. So, but that takes practice. You don't go out the first day with 3 kids knowing how to get them in the car. You're not even sure that you've got the car seats put into the place that's going to work best for your kids. Like, I had to switch mine around because my toddler he was a toddler at the time, kept, like, throwing things onto the baby, and I had to move seats. And so, like, so much of that, you literally are practicing to see what works best for your family.
Yeah.
And then as you practice, it becomes routine. And one day, I remember this one time, not, you know, it was like late summer last year, and it was super hot. My mom was with me. We were leaving the library, I think. And I was getting all 3 kids in the car, like, my routine. And she gets in the car and she's just like, oh my gosh. Like, she was so overwhelmed. And that was even with her helping me. Mm-hmm. But, like, it just had become routine at that point. And it's yeah. not pleasant. I will never look back, I think, on putting 3 kids into 3 car seats. That's pleasant. Mm-hmm. But it was like, it's just my thing. I know what to do. I know I'm going to open this door, put this kid in, open this door, put this kid in, open that, put this door. You know, like,
yeah.
I have my routine down. And it wasn't until it was somebody who doesn't have any muscle memory for that
yeah.
was looking at it and going, like, oh my gosh, that I realized all of that practicing had become something.
You're normal.
Not perfect, but
you're normal.
Just my normal. And so it has been so helpful to me.
Well, then you look at your husband and you're like, geez, get it together. Like, when they can't do it. But then I also go, okay, you do this every day, multiple times a day.
I
know.
I totally do that.
I'm just going to throw
it. And then I'll tell my husband, I'm like, the reason I can do it is because I do it. You have to,
yeah.
like, I think it was several months before Jason was alone with all three kids by himself. And I'm like, the reason why it seems so hard is because you've never done it. Like, I didn't have a choice, and I just, you know, it's not easy. It's just something you get used to. Now he, I mean, he's alone with him all the time, but, so, yeah, that's it. I'm just practicing.
I love that one. I remember you telling me that first time you told me that. You've told me many times since then.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going back and forth?
Yeah, let's do that.
This one I say all the time. Everyone knows this about me. And it's just feel the feels. I got to give it to my sister here. What up, JP? She and I started saying this about a year ago exactly. And it just applies to everything.
Mm-hmm.
The good, the bad, and the in-between. And just, like, it's going to make me cry because this came at a hard part in her life. And you know, it was okay to feel those feels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think just don't, like, my only caveat to that is, like, don't get stuck in that feeling. Like,
but sometimes, actually all the time, I think feeling them keeps you from getting stuck. Because if you don't let yourself go all the way to the bottom, you get stuck on the downslope instead of...
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, if you
gotta cascade down and back up the other side.
And then back up. Yeah.
That's so true. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, so feel the feels, and yeah, I think I even hashtag that.
We should.
I think I do sometimes.
That is such, yeah, you say that
I say all the feels, too, a lot, but.
She tells me that all the time when I'm, you know, talking about something, usually something hard, but sometimes not, just feel the feels. Sometimes I'll throw it back at you. One time, what was it, last week?
Probably.
You were saying something and then making fun of some vocabulary word that I had said. And I was like, you feel the feels and I speak the speaks.
Yes, yes. Because I like vocab, but you like, you got some vocab.
If the word is in you, just let it come out. It doesn't matter if somebody doesn't understand what you mean.
No, don't bottle that. And it's the same for the feeling. Let the feeling come out, and yeah, just don't bottle them, don't stuff them. Mm-hmm. We were created with a vast array, and you're gonna see your children do that. And this is something I also I'm giving parenting advice. It's not advice, but like I allow myself, I don't go crazy, but I allow myself to feel my feelings in front of my children. So mm-hmm. the other day I was having a really hard day. We've had some bad news in our family, and I cried in mm-hmm. front of my almost 3-year-old, and man, you would have thought I just shook his world upside mm-hmm. down. And I just explained to him, like, buddy, mommy has big feelings too, and I'm sad, but I'm not always going to be sad, and it's mm-hmm. going to be okay, but I get to feel this way. Mm-hmm. And just watching his brain kind of go, like, I don't know what she's talking about, but mm-hmm. there's something there. I think it's important that they see that mm-hmm. we all have our feelings. But I'm a hypersensitive person.
Me too.
I've self-diagnosed, and
have you taken the test for being highly sensitive?
No, I've looked at, like, the checklist. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I have literally all of them on that checklist.
There's quite a few.
Yeah. We'll have to link to that checklist. There's such a thing as being highly sensitive. We're not just crazy.
No. I keep going back to this, the mama wound, and there's just something about every birth, every pregnancy, that is not what we wanted it to be. And mm-hmm. so, again, that kind of chimes into that. And with Jude, I thought everything had to look perfect for everyone. We were mm-hmm. great. We're great. Everything's mm-hmm. great. And then with Keegan, it was like, nah.
This is
hard. And, mm-hmm. I, you know, it just gave me more freedom to, like, just have some onus in where I was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just encourage anyone listening, like, it's okay to feel the way you feel. Mm-hmm. God gave you these feelings, and he gave them to you for a reason. And just, mm-hmm. like, express them, get through them, get over them, talk to someone about mm-hmm. them, and then we can all move on, mm-hmm. you know? But, yeah, I was just trying to keep it all together.
Yeah.
Have it looking good.
I like to imagine that feelings are, they're real, but they're like a cloud that's come down on you.
Mm-hmm.
It's real, but you will walk through it and it will go away.
Yes.
It's not permanent.
Right.
My second mantra that I say quite often is life is not an emergency. Which I have to give credit to Anne Voskamp for that one.
I love some Voskamp.
Anne Voskamp has this printable of thing, like quotes and things from moms. And I have it on my fridge above where we get our water. And one of them is life is not an emergency. And I have taken ownership of that. That is something that I tend to mostly live my life very, you know, mellow and quiet. But then when I'm trying to get, you know, rushed out the door to something, it turns into this like absolute craziness, and I can be very crabby.
When the kids feed off of that.
They totally do.
You know, it just turns into this downward spiral.
Mm-hmm. It just has made it easy for me to be like, to realize running late to this appointment isn't an emergency.
Right.
The fact that my kid has a bug bite isn't actually an emergency. Like, obviously, sometimes I do have to take my kids to the emergency room, and those are technically emergencies in what we would think of as a medical sense. And while we have to walk through the steps of rushing our child somewhere, taking care of them, getting them the proper care, or whatever other emergency you're dealing with, it's not an emergency to God. Like, He's taking care of it. And all you have to do is walk through the steps laid out. You don't have to be emotionally frantic, even if you are physically moving quickly to take care of something. Even if, I don't know, like today, you look over and your 3-year-old is pooping on the ground in the playroom and saying, ah, ah, that's not an emergency. You know, it's not. It's a move quickly situation. But it's not an emergency, and it has just helped me recalibrate how I talk about my life and how I treat my family when I'm in a hurry, and it's been really helpful with little kids.
Yeah. I think with, like, the day-to-day, now there are medical emergencies and things like that, and again, going back to our faith, we view that differently. So I just don't want to discredit anyone
that's like, there are emergencies. Right. Yes. I'm not saying that. Right. I've had to take my kid and to the emergency room and run in, and there are things where you need to move quickly that we're discussing. I'm more like
the daily grind of
that. Yes. Life itself is not an emergency.
Like your baby, your newborn that is not sleeping, it's not an emergency.
It isn't.
And nothing is wrong. They're newborn. You know? It's like,
But it feels like an emergency.
Does. It feels you're doing it wrong, and there's just like someone needs to come and rescue the situation.
I found so much peace in just saying, this isn't an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Calm
it
down. And then let's start from a place of knowing that it's not an emergency. And it helps me stay calm and focus on solutions.
So I love that. You shared that with me, and they actually hang on my kitchen cabinets because
of the Amazon.
Yes, yeah. I spend so much of my time, and that one truly speaks to me too. So try it out. See if it grounds you. Whether you're a believer or not, I think just it's not an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't brush their teeth today.
Not an emergency. The toddler
you
has
want
not.
A cheese stick right now? Sorry, it's not an emergency.
The child is screaming at you for the 30-minute commute home. It's not an emergency. It feels like an emergency, but it's actually not an emergency.
It could turn into an emergency. Good, go now. Oh, golly. Another one of mine is comparison steals your joy.
Mm-hmm.
This is a struggle of mine, so obviously this is one of mine. It's pretty cut and dry, honestly. And these little tiny squares that are on Instagram that I just adore looking at gorgeous things and... just I enjoy it, and then there's like this little part of me that creeps in that's like, but I want that, and I'm coveting, and I'm just jealous or what have you. And so it's just, maybe I just need to remove that. Like, if it's creating that feeling inside me, I just need to remove it until I am quote unquote mature enough to appreciate it again. But that's just anything, like the mom, the nursery, the mom that seems to have it all together,
the baby that sleeps through the night.
Oh gosh, don't get me started. Yeah, at like 2 weeks old, you know, or whatever it is. All of it, yeah. Comparison steals your joy.
It does.
And just
there are so many ways to compare too, like. You know, the classic one is Instagram, and that's actually not been a really big issue for me. I tend to, that for whatever reason, I don't know why, but,
okay.
But I compare in other ways. I compare, you know, kids' behavior out and about. I compare, to my kids' behavior, or I compare to my expectations.
That's...
Like, it doesn't even have to be another person. Yeah. It can be, like... my own expectations. I compare and quickly become completely joyless, you know. That's, it doesn't have to just be the classic social media makes you compare your life with people.
I like that you brought that up because that is so true, and a lot of it can be self-reflective, and I think just staying present really helps that in the moment. Like, okay, this play date is not going the way I wanted. I wanted my kids to behave, but he's going to hit your child. And
I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah, and you know what? That mom is probably going to get it and go, yeah, it could have been mine, so glad it was yours. And, you know,
that's what I would be thinking.
You just kind of move on. Yeah, I mean, in the beginning, I know with Jude, I would freak out over stuff like that. Now I'm just like, he's got to feel his feels and... you do you, kid. Tell them that all the time. And, yeah, we just move on past
it. If you're going to do you angry, you need to do you in your bedroom.
Oh, true. We've been very acquainted with our room here lately. Oh, he even asks. Like, that's, it's like that's his good. Little yeah, place. Like, I need to go chill out.
You know what he told me the other day when I was over here? He and Elijah were playing back there. And I went in just to check on them.
Uh-huh.
And they were fine. And Jude looks at me and goes... can you leave us, please? I kid you not. I was like, oh, would you like to be alone? Mm-hmm. And he goes, yes. Okay, let me just back on out of here. Mm-hmm. Are you 14? Like, what is going on here? Yeah. But they were completely fine. They weren't doing anything wrong. And so I was like, fine, y'all have your little play date.
Yep, they're just... need a little privacy. You know, we're working on the privacy factor here.
So funny.
The other day he closed the doors for me. You need some privacy, Mom?
I do.
I was like, sure.
I don't know why you don't consider that when I'm sitting on the toilet. You know?
But I'll take it now.
Oh, speaking of sitting on the toilet, have you ever seen that meme that's like about toddlers and says, don't stare at your mom while she's sitting on the toilet? That's weird. Go sit in her lap.
Oh! No.
That is so true.
That's, yeah.
My kids have totally done that.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, with Jude, I was afraid to hear him cry. I think we talked about that once before. And, like, yeah, there's a number of times I peed while holding newborn baby. And, like, I don't know how I did it.
Oh, I definitely do that. I still do that with Maggie. Maggie gets, like... all weepy if I set her down.
Mm-hmm.
As toddler girls. Apparently this is a girl thing. She's my first girl, so I didn't realize that she hit this like 12-month mark and cries about everything now.
Well, I was just listening honestly to a podcast that was talking about child development and how there is a total separation anxiety that peaks really high at like 14 to 16 months.
We're there.
There you go. See? Answers. Now you feel better. You can just rest in it. Just go, it's developing brain.
Yep.
Your turn.
So funny. Okay, the last one that I had, although I thought of another one since we've been sitting here. One I was going to do. We'll see.
Whichever one?
Last one I wrote down. I'll see if there's time for a bonus one.
Okay.
This next one is a family one that I actually first got through my mom, who got it through Elizabeth Elliot, who is a Christian writer, speaker, former missionary. She died fairly recently, but she got it from a poem. So this is passed down generations of women, and it is "Do the Next Thing." And the poem, I'll try and find a copy of the poem and and link it. The general idea, though, is when you are overwhelmed and you're not sure what to do, do the next thing. And the basic idea would be, do the dishes. If you don't know what to do the dishes. Just change the diaper. And then after you've changed the diaper, put the kid back out, you know, in the playroom. And then sit down with the child and build a Duplo tower. Just do the next thing. And that's been helpful. I think the reason probably why it's so helpful in my family is because of all of us struggled with anxiety to one degree or other. And when I struggle with anxiety, when I struggle with depression and I'm feeling paralyzed and not sure what to do, that comes to mind. Just do the next thing, and then do the next thing, and then do the next thing, and get through your day that way. And it's hard for me to accept sometimes, because I tend to want things to look really pretty and effortless and smooth, and do the next thing doesn't really look that way, but it's really effective. Mm-hmm. You know, it doing the next thing that comes onto your plate is exactly what, you know, your day is mostly made of. Yeah. And as a mom, that's been actually a hard transition for me. The fact that it is, like today, I kept having to remind myself, all you're doing today is taking your child to and from camp and potty training. Don't try and do other things.
Right.
That's all you're doing. And I keep thinking, no, I'll be able to do this, and I'll be able to do that, and I was going to bake this, and I was going to make this, and no, because all that kept coming up was do the next thing, you know, like, they go to the bathroom, did it, you know, like, now today I wasn't really struggling. I never had to really remind myself of that, but there are days where I have to remind myself, do the next thing. And it really, both, you know, whether it's today where it just kind of happens, or a day where I'm having to force that, that's the way a mom life goes. It's just do the next thing.
I like how you cued into, like, the analysis paralysis, because I think whether you're overwhelmed or you don't know what you're doing in this season, like, you know, I mean, I guess that's overwhelm and overlap, but
you,
like,
tend to overanalyze.
Yeah, no, I'm way overanalyzing. And so, yeah, sometimes it's just like, no, put the laundry away.
Right.
Put the laundry from the washer to the dryer, you know? Yeah, I mean, like, just these simple things. It's like one foot in front of the other. But with actual, like, duties,
I will get completely paralyzed trying to formulate the most efficient way to do the 10 things on my to-do list, rather than just getting up and doing one.
Start checking them off.
Just do one. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Maybe we're the only two people in the world that are like this, but I don't think so.
No.
But.
Well, and maybe, I mean, this is not all of these play into every day. I think you just said that. And I think, just like you said, this is a seasonal thing. And even in motherhood, like, I'm in a completely different season now, having two kids and taking on these other passions of mine. And it's like, oh, I'm going to do it all today. And it's like, no. You've got to ration your time out and go, this is what I'm going to handle today and this week. And, you know, it's going to look different each time. Mm-hmm. That's like setting the bar low, you know, and just going, okay, I just have to accomplish getting Nathan to camp and Elijah potty trained today. Because I know when I had Keegan, I kept thinking our life needed to go at the pace that it was going, and I needed to do these six different errands today. And it's like, no, you can do one thing today. And that was really hard for me to understand. Yeah. But yeah, when you got naps and stuff.
Naps and feeding and unexplained crying. And
yeah, and a distracted nurser and just all the things. All the things.
Yep.
I'm going to keep moving because, yeah, I want your bonus one. This is something I'm saying to myself now, and that kind of cues into, like I was saying, it's I've got a lot more on my plate today than I did a couple weeks ago. And we all have the same 24 hours in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And this can go, this can kind of even play into the comparison thing at like looking at what someone else is accomplishing or how put together they look. And it's like, no, they have the same 24 hours that I have. So I hope that this is a motivator for folks and a comforter, and not going, oh, well, I'm totally blowing my 24 hours, you know, because I can, I can get negative. But it's giving me some peace and going, yeah, I used my 24 well. And that's going to look different. Like, you had a, I have a teething baby right now. So maybe those 24 hours look really lazy to someone else, but we got through the day, you know, and he was comforted and no one slept or whatever. But yeah, that's just something
I think, I think I can see how it would be easy to be like, well, we all have 24 hours and there's Beyonce and then there's me. Like, what have I been doing lately? You know? But that's not what we mean. We mean, because I say this one too, like, what I mean is we all are filling our time with different things.
Yes.
It's not that we, and sometimes we literally don't have time to do something, but it's not that there isn't 24 hours in the day. You do. It's that you're choosing to spend your time differently than the girl next door, than your friend, than the girl on Instagram, than whoever it is that you're comparing yourself to. It does relate so well to that comparison. But like, my 24 hours today were, you know, packing lunches, getting kids in the car, working on, you know, social media for the podcast, commuting to and from camp, potty training, taking care of kids with colds, you know, like that was what filled, and then making dinner and then recording this podcast. For other people, their 24 hours was getting up, driving to work, or driving their baby to the babysitters, working, and like, we're just filling our time with different things. And we're, every time that I'm saying yes to one of the things that I filled my day with, I'm saying no to one of the things that you probably filled your day with.
Yeah.
And that's not good or bad. That is simply, we all have different lives. We all have different value systems.
Right.
Different marriages, different children, different passions, different careers, different things. So I'm not expecting that almost anyone listening filled their time today with recording a podcast. And that's fine. You know, you probably got to watch some TV, or you got to work on the book that you're writing, or you got to, you know, talk with a friend, you know, over coffee. Whatever it is that you filled your time with, it's not good or bad. On Wednesday, I won't be recording a podcast at all. My husband will be off, and I'm planning on having a quiet day and hanging out with a friend and going to see my therapist like I always do on Wednesday. And, you know, like, just a completely different day.
I think it, like, what I hope it invites you into, because this is something that is huge on my heart, is just acceptance of others.
Yeah.
Acceptance of where everyone is. The more life experiences I have, the more empathy I have. Before becoming a mom, I was uber judgmental, and I didn't realize it. Like, I was like, oh, I'm gonna know how to do that when I'm a mom, and my kids aren't gonna do that. And now it's like, oh no, never say never. Be careful, because you will insert foot, swallow to about your knee, and still choke. Like, I do it all the time. So I just hope it encourages acceptance. Like, your 24 hours looks different than mine, and that doesn't make you any better or any less than I am. And just encourage you to prioritize that time. And prioritize it to what feeds your soul, what your family needs, and be done with it. Like, okay, I did well today. I did well today. That's all any of us are hoping to do.
And if you do see an area where you're wanting to improve, like, we all have that, those things, you're not needing to overhaul your life. It's just like, I'm going to spend my time a little bit different today and see if that works. Or, it's just time. We're just choosing to spend our time in different ways.
I mean, Justin and I talked about that. I was like, yeah, I've been kind of at you because I haven't done any self-care. Well, I need to change my 24.
Spend some of my time taking care of myself.
Yeah, maybe the dishes don't need to be done.
Today I did that. I was like, the kids actually slept at the same time. And so I chose to spend my time reading
Nice.
You know, taking some time away from chasing a 3-year-old around, hoping he wasn't peeing anywhere. You know?
Yeah.
Some days I do other things. Anyways.
What's your...
My bonus one?
Your bonus.
Okay, the other one that I say a lot in this season is that it's just a season. In a few
weeks. Oh, we do.
In a few weeks, it'll be completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so true. Like, that, it should not have, considering that I'm, like, a well-educated, informed person in general. Like, this shouldn't have been as surprising to me as it was. But it just, everything with children is in seasons. And really, like, I wish that more pregnant women, especially with their first, could own the fact that that's, like, it's like that when you're pregnant. There's seasons of your pregnancy.
Yeah.
And then it's, as soon as, like, that baby is born, you've got the newborn. That literally lasts, like, 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're into, they're transitioning into that baby stage. Mm-hmm. And then they're transitioning into the, like, moving around, like, squirming stage. And then they transition, you know, like, literally everything lasts weeks. Sometimes days, like teething is only a few days. It's intense and you think it's going to last forever.
Or you don't know what the heck is happening and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's two teeth there. That's why no one's been sleeping.
Why did I forget about teeth?
Yeah, I'm always blaming for every other thing.
Yeah, it's everything is a season. So if you're not liking this season,
just hang tight.
Just wait. It will change. If you love this season, love it well because it will change. That happens. It starts to, I think, slow down a bit. And I think that's part of why I wasn't quite aware of that until my second child is because we didn't get Nathan until he was 20 months. We missed a lot of those seasons. And so I was used to a slower change. Yeah, he changed, but it was a slower pace. And then when I have a second one, it's like, oh, wow. Oh, my. Oh. And then the other thing is, don't get stuck in your rhythms. If something works for you right now, but then stops working in a few weeks, that's okay. You've got to let it go. Maybe it's that right now, baby's sleeping well in your room. And then in a few weeks, he starts, that's not working. Like, it's okay to let it go. Or maybe vice versa. Baby was sleeping well in their room and suddenly it's not. It's okay to pull them in. Everything is a season. Nothing is permanent at this stage. You're simply getting through each season and taking care of everybody in the family. So
the only only constant is change.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I hope that these have, like, you know, at least one of them has resonated with you, and I'd love to hear other people's because I love words of encouragement. Like I said, I post them everywhere. And that's something I've been telling y'all to do. Like, post things that are encouraging or beautiful, that just inspire your heart.
Like the Ann Voskamp ones that we have on our refrigerator. Put them in places where you see them. I have this one that says, I go out with joy and I'm led forth in peace or something like that on my mirror. Mm-hmm. I have the Ann Voskamp ones on my refrigerator.
Yep.
I have a new one that I just got from something I purchased came with a sticker that says the best is yet to come.
There you go.
I just love.
I dry erase marker my mirrors.
I do that too. I have a big round mirror in our entryway, and I put stuff on there. It's, you know, put words that are coming to mind and reminding you of what your intentions are in the midst of, you know, less than perfect circumstances, and it can help be an anchor for your mind when it's starting to go frantic because the child just peed on the tile and it's a big mess. So
yeah, that would be my call to action.
Yes,
just like that would be something I would challenge y'all to do this week. Do it for yourself. I promise you that it will feed your soul. And if it doesn't, you can take that up with me.
Thanks for joining us. One last housekeeping thing is just to remind you again to share the podcast with new moms or anyone you think could be encouraged, anyone who might be alone or needing some community.
Yes.
And feel free to comment and message us. We would love to chat online.
Yeah, we're very relational kind of gals.
We are.
So.
And I love social media. I know that's not your thing, but...
I'm better. I'm so better. I'm good at the face-to-face, but I'm getting better. I'm embracing it. See, it's just a different season.
That is true. I mean, yeah, I have, first of all, an older child, and also my youngest is older than, 7 months older than yours, so.
Anyways. Anywho, we love you, mamas.
Yes. And thank you again for all your support.
Big, big hugs.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of The Post Party. I hope you found something to connect with or that was encouraging to you. What are the mantras that get you through your long days of motherhood? Is it something your mom taught you? Something you read? We'd love for you to share those with us. As always, you can find us on our website, thepostparty.com, and that's also where the show notes are for this episode. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/thepostparty and on Instagram at thepostparty. And you can find me, Anna Hithersay, on Instagram at comehither_andstay. Bye.